Ameritech Property Management. How can I help you?
Yeah, I've got two dogs crapping on my lawn. One of them is as big as a house.
Ameritech Property Management.
Okay, so my house smells like something out of a horror movie. It's like something
died. You guys sent me a violation notice in the mail.
Everything.
It says my lawn is unsightly. What the hell is that?
You guys think that you're going to take my house? You got another thing coming. You're going to put a lien on my house for $20?
That's right. Everything you ever wanted to know about condominium living or deed-restricted communities. Good afternoon and welcome to the Ameritech Connection radio talk show on the TAN Talk Radio Network. Do you live in a condo or deed-restricted community? Do you have issues concerning the do's and the don'ts in your community? Have you been getting into trouble with your community association or management company? Got questions but just can't get the answers? Well, we cover it all and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection. Hi, I'm Mike Perez, the CEO of Ameritech Property Management and your host for the Ameritech Connection. And sitting right next to me is my co-host, the beautiful and talented Miss Sharon Van Winkle. Sharon is also the Director of Marketing for Ameritech Property Management and has over 10 years of experience dealing with these, at times, very difficult situations. So with that in mind and without further ado, here's Sharon.
Thanks, Mike. We have an exciting one-hour show for you here today, so please keep listening and call us with your questions because we have all the answers. The local number is 727-441-3000. That is 727-441-3000. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-826-1340. Again, that's 1-866-826-1340. Did you know that Ameritech Property Management manages over 25,000 homes in the Tampa Bay area? And that means we have a lot of experience dealing with a lot of different issues. We've been managing condominium and deed-restricted communities for over 20 years, and now we've decided to host our own radio talk show to discuss and educate you, our listeners, on the do's and the don'ts regarding community living. Oh yeah, not to mention the crazy and off-the-wall stories you're hear only on the Ameritech Connection radio talk show.
Good afternoon, folks, and well, after Hurricane Irma, Floridians are having a really tough time getting back to a normal day, especially our friends in the Keys. The devastation has been horrendous in the Florida Keys and the southern part of our state, and cleanup and recovery is underway, but we got a long, long way to go. Power is almost back and restored in the Tampa Bay area, and our friends at Duke Energy and TECL have done a terrific job. Today's show is all about hurricane preparation, cleanup, recovery procedures for the properties we manage at Ameritech. That and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection.
Yes, that's right, Mike. We all witnessed the devastation that Houston and other areas in Texas had to endure as a result of Hurricane Harvey. So with Hurricane Irma predicted to be one for the record books, knowing and taking the appropriate measures to stay safe and protect our loved ones was essential. So here today to discuss the do's and don'ts in being prepared, clean up in the aftermath, and recovery is Phil Coletis, Ameritech's Director of Operations, and his wife, Judy, who also does a great job for us in administrative services. And she's a licensed CAM as well. And in addition, we have Janice Sophia, who is a licensed CAM and our Director of Human Resources. So welcome to the show, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, welcome, Janice.
Yes.
I'm glad to be back.
We're glad to have you. So I'd like to start out asking you, Phil, we face many challenges from Hurricane Irma, including power outages and flooding, to name just a few. So tell us, what are some of the things that you did to prepare your managers?
Well, thank you for asking me to show up here today. And some of the things that we did on Friday, actually before the storm hit, is we had a managers meeting where we asked all the managers to get a hold of all their properties and get a hold of the board members and prepare them to get an email blast to each and every homeowner on the upcoming problem that might be heading our way with the with the storm.
So we did an email blast to, I don't know, we got 25,000. I don't think we got 25,000 emails on file, but I think it's probably in the thousands. I know that.
Right. Each board member has their own email system set up to where they send it out to their own community.
Yeah, and in that email blast, we were just pretty much talking and helping them a little bit, reminding them of the things of how to prepare, right? I mean, maybe with the, a hurricane supply kit and to make sure that you have bottled water and juice and canned foods, very important. And a manual can opener. I mean, you know, there's a lot of us that forgot that. You know, you got to have that. You don't, without power, you don't have your electric can opener.
Right. And then also to remove outdoor items such as yard deco and, you know, anything that might be considered to be kind of a projectile.
Right. A lot of them were thrown, a lot of the pool furniture in the pool. If they
See,
had
I
sand.
Told you.
I did that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks to me.
And
yes.
Also sandbags.
Thanks to you.
We had a lot of associations that we were able to drop some sand, and the homeowners were getting sandbags to prevent any water from coming into
That's great.
Well, that's pretty cool. So so basically, if I'm not mistaken, we had some dump trucks go to these different properties.
Right, several of them.
And dump a bunch of sand so that the homeowners could, bag up.
Was that more in a condo building or was
right,
it with single
condos,
family?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. All right, because there's, like, we'll talk about it later, but there's a little bit of a difference in preparing when you're talking condo versus single family homes, but... So what are some of the main contractors that you use for cleanup and recovery efforts? And did you put them on notice to be prepared for our phone calls?
Well, that was part of talking to the boards, was letting them know that some of the emergency emails, that they, if there was a problem, that they can contact 911 or whatever services were out there for them. So we had emails already set up for them and phone numbers that they can call. But we also, contacted each, contractor that they had lawn services. Basically, the lawn services were the big ones, and also the plumbing companies. You know, just in case there was
and roofers, I'm sure as well.
Oh yeah.
Well, I
general
know,
contractors.
Right. Well, yeah, the general contractors, restoration companies, landscapings were a big issue because really we dodged a bullet, didn't we, Tommy? Yeah, I mean, Tommy's over there daydreaming. Tommy, come on, pay attention.
I was actually watching the still coverage.
Yeah.
No, we really did dodge a bullet. I mean, we could have been hit with a lot more devastation.
And thank God we weren't.
That's correct. That's correct.
So. And if I may, we also had our own emergency line that was open the whole time, and a person would answer it and called them back.
Right. We did not go without phone service.
That's a good point,
that's
Janice,
right.
Because
well,
we have
satellite phones is what we have. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
we have a licensed cam that answered that phone 24/7.
Took all the information he could, phone numbers, property, the manager, got in touch with the manager and let them know the situation. So we were right on top of it.
And he was, thank you for bringing that up, because he's also very good at calming those folks that are out of the area and they don't know what's going on down here, and they rely on their management company to give them as much feedback as possible.
Well, it's true. And, in most management companies, most of the complaints come from after-hour services. So what we did here at Ameritech, right, Phil, is we had one manager that specifically all he does is take care of the after-hours calls.
Correct. And also we made sure that every manager had their phone sales on, that, that didn't go to voicemail. Hopefully it didn't go to voicemails. They were able to, we instructed when they were talking to the board that each manager had their phone available 24
right.
hours.
Absolutely, to all the board members. And to clarify what you said with your point is that boards complain with other management companies the after hours because it's very important to them, but we don't get those kind of complaints because, like you said, we're right on top of it, and we have a good person that's answering the phone resolving the issues.
It's Scott McKinley, if you're listening, Scott.
Yeah.
You do a really good job.
And not only does he take the call and take care, take action on what's going on, but he calls that person back, which is extremely important, and lets them know what he's done. So it gives them a peace of mind.
That's great. And his philosophy is, which is the Ameritech philosophy, to return the phone call within a reasonable time. Mm-hmm. And we feel 24 hours is not a reasonable time. It should be within a half hour to an hour.
Or 10 to 15 minutes, really.
Typically,
kind of
it is.
Even though we tell them 24 hours, normally we really don't like to say 24. Normally it's immediately that they'll get a call back from either Scott or one of the managers.
The manager, right.
That's right.
All right, so I've heard about First Push. Can you tell me exactly what does that mean?
Well, First Push is supposed to be that, we're thankful that it didn't hit as bad as it did in other areas, but we had a lot of tree removal, brush, and so the first push was most of the contractors that contacted us that we were able, in case there were trees down where the roads were blocked, that we'd be able to have the crews go in there and just remove the brush to the sides of the road, not clean it up or anything, just removal. To the side so the emergency crews can get in, or if somebody needs to have access to the roads. So that's basically what the first.
So in essence, let's clean the streets up, which we did with our properties. In fact, we even got a division, the Ameritech Emergency Management Division, that can assist in that process as well.
Yeah,
but depending on the size of the devastation, you know, obviously we can't do all of the properties we manage with, you know, with over 25,000 units in the Tampa Bay area. That's a huge first push. But we are hooked up with dozens and dozens of different landscaping companies that were on standby. And we literally were ready to do a first push. Now, I think out of all the properties that we managed, there was only one property that really got hit pretty hard. It was on the Dunedin Causeway. I won't mention the name.
Right.
But I think a tornado touched down on the roof because it ripped a good portion of the roof off.
And there was flooding.
Yeah, there was flooding with all the units and everything else. But for the most part, other than trees, right, Phil, we had no damage.
Trees, carports, basically sheds. That's it. The major thing was just carports.
A lot of carports. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So talking about that, what type of equipment does Ameritech have for emergencies?
Well, we in fact, I was going to add on to what Mike was saying about the EMR program that we do have a fire truck available that's equipped with generators and chainsaws. Like I said, just light equipment to be able to at least get things opened and not, like I said, not to clean it up, but at least get it open so you know, crews can get in there, even the electrical companies can get in and do their work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got a fire engine as well, which I mean that Mack pusher can push just about anything out of the way. I mean, if we need to use it, plus it can pump and relocate water, which is kind of cool. I think we got a call on the line, right, Tommy?
Yes, you do. First caller is Morgan.
Hello, Morgan. Welcome to the Ameritech Connection. You're on the air. What's your question?
I just had a quick question. I heard from another company that. During hurricanes, they'll help put up, like, wood and shutters if need be. Now, once we contacted our company, they said no, it's not their responsibility. Is that true? Or?
You got kind of a bad connection there, Morgan.
Yeah. Can you say that again?
I was just wondering if the management company is supposed to help with putting shutters up or boards up on people's windows in their condos?
Bill, you want to answer that?
Well, the actual management company, we don't, but we do have plenty of, you know, individuals that we can contact to help you out case by case. And normally it's up to the homeowner to prepare that ahead of time. And normally a couple, if you're living in a condo, normally it's a couple, about a week or so, that they, you know, the association allows you to put some boards up. So you have plenty of time to prepare if you don't wait till the last minute. You know, normally we have several guys that are available to do something like that, but it's normally not our responsibility to do that.
Janice?
Also, if there's a maintenance person on site, I'm sure he will help all the homeowners that he can and make sure that they're secure. So
now what about taking them down? Does the HOA give, like, a time limit?
Well, typically I would say 3 or 4 days after the event has taken place, you need to kind of take it down and certainly put the property back to normality.
Why, are you thinking about keeping yours on?
Yeah, you never know. What if Jose comes along and, you know.
That's true.
Well, you can't just keep them up throughout the entire hurricane season. That's certainly not something you can do.
Plus, you're in darkness, so I don't know how long you won't stay in darkness.
Are you the type to keep your Christmas lights up in July?
It's called darkness, too. I mean, that's my Boston Janice over there, right?
All right, Morgan, have we answered your question?
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you for calling in.
Thanks for calling in, Morgan.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Phil, what type of notifications and information do you send out to all the owners? You know, as far as the email blast that we were talking about, what's involved with that?
All right, we have, you know, part of our program, the EMR program, we do have an emergency packet.
In fact,
I brought
The FEMA booklets.
FEMA booklets, which we happen to have a copy.
And actually, if
I could just say that in preparation, and you hear it all the time, it's really not the day of the storm. And it's really weeks, months, and years ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do have these booklets that we either hand out to the associations, and it kind of gives you an overview from FEMA and American Red Cross, preparing for disaster, flood and water in an emergency, helping children cope with disaster, prepared for disaster for people with disabilities and other special needs. So these are some information
that
we have, you know, available to our associations that we hand out to them and make it available to them.
And those are the communities that are signed up for our emergency management readiness program.
Correct.
Okay.
And they're also available to really any homeowner that's under management with Ameritech, as well as anybody that's listening out there. If they want to call Ameritech at 727-726-8000, we would be happy to provide these FEMA booklets. They're very helpful, very informative. And again, as Phil was saying, they pretty much give you a good breakdown as to what to expect and how to prepare and how to clean up and recovery from a disaster such as Irma.
Okay, so going on that, are the Ameritech managers certified for a disaster such as this hurricane?
Well, we do have some that have been certified. I'm certified.
I'm certified too.
Yeah, Mike, and I think Janice is also certified.
Actually, I am too.
Yes, okay. You are.
I asked the question knowing the answer, but,
but
we can talk
Judy,
about that.
Judy, are you certified?
Oh, yes, she is. Judy's certified. We're all certified.
So
all
we are. Like,
talk about that.
Again, a lot of this is we prepare. As a management company, and again, not now that I'm the director, but I used to manage several properties myself, is that throughout the year, and I'm sure we'll get into it a little later on, but you know, through the year, as we do our inspections with the boards, especially with the president, we actually walk the properties and we point out trees that are hanging over the roofs, and we try to do some preventative maintenance ahead of time, knowing that a rain, especially with our rains that we do have in our regular summers, keeping debris off the roof, roofs, the tree lines.
Making sure the trees are trimmed thoroughly so they can't catch a wind and blow over.
Yeah, dead trees.
Dead trees.
Yeah, and I think our boards really appreciate that proactiveness because they don't want you to just react to every issue that comes up and then they have to call and let you know, and gee, you should have seen that ahead of time. So that's good.
Right, so that makes it a lot easier when there is a problem, they don't have a lot, you know, all at one time, you know.
What I found interesting, too, is that, you know, shortly after, I think the day after, or maybe even the day of, our managers were going out and inspecting our properties.
The day of the hurricane?
No, the day after the
day after the hurricane.
It was Monday. Monday.
It was Monday. Yeah, so I think by the end of Monday, I think, if I'm not mistaken, you coordinated where all the managers, for the most part, had a chance to visit each and every one of their properties.
Correct. By Tuesday, every property was actually walked, physically walked by, you know, by the managers. And I say, well, walked and also driven by, you know, because some of them are pretty good size.
Right.
But they were able to assess any damage or any, by time Tuesday, we had pretty much an idea of what was going on with each property, which electrical goes off, what kind of resources we needed. And actually by Tuesday, those resources were already contacted.
No,
and
that's fantastic.
We've already established, you know, with insurance companies, we've already made claims on several insurance policies. And contacted agents, and that's a kudos to some of the agents we've been dealing with.
Right.
They were answering their phones even though their electric goes off also, you know.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Well, talking about the insurance, how do the managers go about ensuring our properties have enough coverage?
Well, each year the insurance company or the insurance comes as a renewal. And so alongside with the agent, and normally it falls on the agent, that's his responsibility, but we partner with the agent to go over the policies and with the boards to make sure that they are fully covered. We'd normally have an appraisal done on the property within 3 years of the time of insurance, making sure that it's covered, and we make sure what things are covered and under, you know, making sure they have the right deductibles and making sure everything is in place for them and they have a good insurance company and the agent.
Right.
Or back to the agent, it's going to respond to their need, just like having a good management company responding to, you know, to their need when it's happening and not until afterwards. You know?
Absolutely. Admitted coverage versus non-admitted coverage. Right. I mean, stuff like that we can get into, which is a huge show. In fact, we had a show on insurance not too long ago.
We did.
All by itself. But what we also do, and I think is really important, is especially those that have signed up with the emergency management program that Ameritech offers, is we video recorded the entire exterior of the property prior to the hurricane, and then we video record it after the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that certainly helps document any damage to the property when it comes to placing insurance claims. We also, for those associations that have a website, we place that information on the website so homeowners that might be
out of
the area, that have left, that are in Georgia or out of the state, would like to know if their property's been damaged. And it gives them a little peace of mind where they can go online and actually view the footage before and after. It gives them a peace of mind that maybe their property's not damaged. I mean, especially in this particular case where we kind of averted this devastation. I mean, we really did get lucky this time.
Mm-hmm. You know, and again, on that point, I'd just like to say that going back to kudos to our emergency after hours guy, Scott McKinley, even there were quite a few homeowners that were not in the state of Florida, and they were up in up north somewhere, and they were just worried sick. So calling our line and talking to Scott made them feel so much better because he let them know as much as he could. Look, you know, I have no information, or this is what I've heard, or from what I understand, you have power, you don't have power. So at least by the time he hung up with that person, they felt a lot better. And I think that that's really important.
Yeah, going by what calls he's received,
mm-hmm,
okay?
Exactly.
Nothing has come in on your community, so it should be mm-hmm. okay. Or, you know, mm-hmm. he's gotten some calls on the community. You can tell, you know, what kind of information.
And for the most part, all the damage that we had was a lot of big trees that were down. I mean, yeah. You know, so our landscapers, I have to give hats off to them. They were all over it, cleaning up the streets and getting these trees kind of cleaned up, as well as you, Phil. I mean, you really did a great job.
Thank you.
Staying
you really
on top
did.
Of our managers.
Yeah, you did. All right, so let's see.
Now, I know we have a preferred vendor program that we put out every year, and part of that preferred vendor program is to educate, right, Janice? I'll ask this question to you, is to educate the homeowners concerning extreme weather. And why don't you just tell our listeners what is in our preferred vendor book when it comes to good resources and information?
Well, I have the book right in front of me.
Well, that's good.
And it has some good articles from the police department this year in particular.
Articles,
well,
you mean
well, this year
articles?
This year was great because it was appreciation of law enforcement.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And then when you go towards it has a calendar. It has all the preferred vendors listed categorically, landscaping, paint manufacturers, painting, contractors. And then when you get to the back, you have extreme weather information sheet. And there's a whole list of information there. FloridaEvacuates.com plus the phone number. The Department of Law Enforcement, Animal Industry Emergency, Florida Power, Duke Energy, and it has everything right there and if you should need it. So this is already in the homeowner's hands.
And that's distributed once a year for free at no charge to any of our homeowners or our associations to over 25,000 homes that are under management. So it's really, really good information.
Right.
We're going to take a quick commercial break, folks. Keep listening. We're going to be right back. Right, Tommy?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Sun Paints and Coatings is your hometown paint store, family owned and operated for over 40 years. Sun Paints has 6 locations throughout Hillsborough, Pinellas, and Pasco counties. Sun Paints and Coatings manufactures Daico brand paints in Tampa and is an authorized distributor of Benjamin Moore and PPG paints. Sun Paints and Coatings works closely with property management companies, HOAs, condo associations, and individual homeowners, helping ensure a great project. Trust the experts at Sun Paints and Coatings. Sun Paints is the best paint under the sun. Visit us at sunpaintsandcoatings.com.
Mitchell Insurance Services has been providing superior insurance coverage and outstanding customer service since 1971. We specialize in the unique insurance needs of community associations and homeowners associations all across the state of Florida. Contact us today for a free policy assessment to ensure you have the right coverage and are getting the credits that you deserve. Contact us today at 727-360-8190 or visit us online at mitchellinsurancefl.com. Insuring your community since 1971.
Don't stress it. Call Innovative Roofing. We handle all projects from minor repairs to re-roofing, as well as new installations. We pride ourselves for both quality and reliability, working hard to build lasting relationships with our clients. Innovative Roofing, building a reputation for being a company who makes a difference. Give us a call today, 813-909-0400. Again, that number is 813-909-0400.
Allegiance Development is a family-owned and operated business offering quality general contracting services in the greater Tampa Bay area. We offer a wide range of services including commercial and residential construction, permitting, community stormwater management and repair, asphalt paving and maintenance, concrete restoration, disaster recovery, and much more. Our commitment and dedication applies to all projects, large or small. We have the expertise to offer fast and affordable solutions for all of your general contracting needs. Feel free to contact us at 727-584-1370 or visit our website at allegiancedevelopment.us.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome back, folks, to the Ameritech Connection. And for those of you just tuning in, our show is all about the devastating Hurricane Irma and the cleanup and recovery efforts that we're in the process of doing right now.
All right. So I'd like to go back on the topic right before the commercial break about our preferred vendor program. And it's actually one of my responsibilities to make sure each vendor is vetted, among other things. But let's just talk about how your managers utilize these contractors, Phil.
And these are the people that we use, the vendors that we use for obviously cleanup procedures, roofing, yeah. Taking care of the trees and everything else.
Pools,
What do you do to vet these things, just if I may ask
well,
you?
Well, I make sure that they have their liability insurance in place. We get a copy of that. Also a copy of their licenses in their field. So we want to make sure, we have to have that before they're allowed on any of our properties and even before they're allowed to be a part of the program. So they give that to me, and then we move on from there.
And we have that in file. And every single one of those vendors that are in that preferred vendor book are vetted in that capacity. At the same time, if I may add, that if we have any derogatory information or if they perform poorly with any of our communities or homeowners, in fact.
Mm-hmm. And I've had it happen twice in seven years I've been with the company. And then we call the owners of that company and we let them know what the issue is. And if they don't make it right, it's absolutely correct. It's like an Angie's List. We don't have them in our program because we don't need vendors that make us look bad. So that's the way it works, and it makes everybody feel much more comfortable in using them. So tell us how the managers use it, Phil.
Well, in part of it, like I said, just to add on what you're saying, that a lot of the vendors that are in the book actually called us. We didn't even have to reach out to them. Most of them made themselves available from Friday and throughout the whole weekend. I was getting emails from them on mm-hmm. my phone, or they're even calling me, letting us know that they were available and that they were giving us, you know, at Ameritech mm-hmm. priority on any property that we might have. And then also the managers were contacting them. In fact, I'll give you a story. I had one individual that that had some shingles removed from, lost some shingles from the roof. Uh-huh. I actually called the roofer. It was on Tuesday. I called him. By Tuesday night, he was out there looking at it and let me know that they needed like three bundles of shingles. So that's how quick.
Was that Janice?
Well, I don't want to put her name, but
it was
Janice.
Me. He was out that morning and inspected the roof and called me at 5 o'clock that evening. And
now, he did not know you work for Ameritech, right?
No, he did.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Well, so, nevertheless, these contractors are still responding quickly.
Right, we had one roofer that we were getting some bids on carports to be removed, and it was a pretty high dollar that they were asking. So I called this individual from our vendor list, and I said, listen, you guys aren't working. Would you mind putting a crew together, being you have trailers? And they did. They put a crew together to kind of remove some of the debris because it's a lot of metal. Mm-hmm. And literally at half the price, so it's saving the association some money.
Not being gouged or anything.
And we're able to keep their workers working through this time.
Certainly no price gouging, that's for sure.
Correct. So that's what our managers are instructed to contact the vendors that, from our vendor book. And, again, our vendors have been responding.
Our board of directors with all the associations that we manage are not obligated in any way whatsoever to use the vendors in the book. I mean, certainly we recommend that they do. However, we've really inherited. We've obtained a lot of good vendors.
Right, and that's why we recommend. We make the recommendations through our experience.
Right. Well, we've got a lot of good vendors.
With these vendors, you know.
Well, no, I'm glad you clarified that because most of the associations have already picked these particular individuals because they've had history with them also.
Right.
And through that history, you know, we've partnered up with them also and, you know, to be able to use them on, you know, on the
absolutely
properties.
And when we take over a new community, a lot of times they already have vendors already in place. We're fine with leaving those vendors in place. We don't want to change
any
of the
board
vendors.
Is happy, we're
right.
happy.
And we've been able to get a lot of good vendors by that way, by
yes,
taking on
acquiring
new
vendors, yes,
and like finding that these vendors are doing a really, really good job. And, you know, again,
and as Ameritech grows, our vendors grow with
absolutely.
Us, so we like that, yeah, right. So so there is a lot of work in preparing before a storm and maybe more so after. So tell us, what are some of the things that managers do in addition to, you know, I mean, it's before getting everybody with the email blast and connecting with the boards and, you know, just saying, I'm going to be here. We have emergency after hours, and then responding right after. Is there any?
Well, not only the man, but see, I'll just kind of give you a little story that's going on with me right now. With one of our managers is pretty tied up with some of the properties, and so I got a call directly from a board member, and they had one of the carports, and this was on Tuesday. I went out there.
What is that, one of the East Lake Woodlands properties?
Yeah, East Lake Woodlands. So I went out there, looked at the carport, took some pictures, contacted the insurance agent, and by tomorrow, all the debris will be removed. By tomorrow, and so
that's
we were
amazing.
Able to coordinate, you know, getting hold of the insurance agent, walking the property with the with the board member. And again, this is what I did, but it's a reflection of what we're doing as Ameritech, and the other managers are doing the very same thing and making sure that things are being dealt with. You know,
yeah,
definitely as a team.
Yeah,
effort.
I like that. All right, Tommy, I think that we have a couple callers on the line.
Yes, Maria will be the next caller.
Maria, hi. This is Ameritech Connection. Do you have a question for us?
Hi, yes, I sure do. I live in a high-rise condominium on the 7th floor, and all my neighbors keep telling me, fill your bathtub with water in case of an emergency situation. I don't understand. What does that do?
That's a good question. I've heard the same thing. Phil, what do you think?
Well, let me just say this. In case you don't have water, I mean, that's a great place to put water, right? There's a product out there that I have to say that I had. It's called the Water Bob, and what it is, it's a one-time use only, but it's a clear, sterile bag, huge bag, where you can fill it up with 100 gallons of water and leave it right in your tub, and there's your drinking water.
How long is that good for, do you think?
Well, it's certainly probably good for a long time. I mean, it's water.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say probably months, right, Phil?
Yeah, but...
But it's called, in case you...
You can drink it, I don't want it.
No, and listen, let me tell you something. You're going to drink that water if you don't have any other water to drink. You'll be sucking
That's
it from
true.
The tub,
That's
you know?
True.
So, but it's called, like it's a... called the Water Bob. Now, I bought this in one of our emergency management readiness programs.
If Seminars.
Years back. And it really, really works. I mean, we filled it with 100 gallons
mm-hmm.
of water.
Mm-hmm.
So even though we had
That'll
cases
last a long time.
Absolutely. But if you're having a hard time getting water and you've got one of those, that's a perfect thing to use for.
For any other
so
reason?
So I need one of those bags before I fill up my tub full of water.
Well, you do. You need one of those bags, but there's other reasons.
Yeah, Phil's going to finish that.
Right. The other reason is to use it for your, you only need a gallon of water to flush your toilet. So you can actually use it,
if that's powered by electric, that is, then you do need to add the water to the toilet, right? So that's another reason.
Well, if you don't have any water, you're going to need water to flush the toilet down. So, you know, a little cup or two, or what is it?
Just a gallon of water, not even more than a gallon to flush your toilet.
Yeah, right. A gallon, wow. Okay.
So if you got 100 gallons in the tub, that means you can go potty 100 times. How do you like that?
And with all the snacks we've been eating and, you know.
Now, remember this. If it's yellow, don't flush it. If it's brown, flush it down. How's it go?
I don't know.
If it's yellow, don't eat it. Okay.
What do they say in our mobile home communities? If it's yellow, if it's brown, flush it down. If it's yellow, let it mellow.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my goodness.
So
okay.
You might want to save a gallon if it's yellow, you know?
All right.
All right. Thank you all very much.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
We got another call, right, Tommy?
Yep. That's Renee next.
Renee. Hey, Renee. Welcome to the Ameritech Connection. What's your question?
So I'm a little nervous. I lost a lot of shingles from my roof, but they, I probably lost like 5 or 6, and they're laying around. Does that mean that I don't have a good roof?
It's probably a good question for a roofer, but I think Phil can answer that.
Well, let's say I'm not a roofer, but no, you probably don't. You need to get a hold of a roofer to come out and look at it, because there could be several reasons why they've blown up. But with the, you know, with the winds that we've had, I mean, even big trees have come down that have been, you know, embedded for a long time. So I wouldn't say you have a bad roof, but have your roofer come out and check it and give you his opinion on what he evaluated. Because I believe at Janice's roof, when he went out to look at his, at her roof, it wasn't an old roof, and he was able to take care of it.
Yeah, mine's only 7 years old. And I said, oh, I lost shingles already.
You lost 2 shingles, and you're having a panic attack.
3 bundles. I don't want to have a leak.
Anyways, but yeah, I think that's probably a good answer to your question, Renee, is check with a roofer, have them get up there and inspect your roofer. Make sure that none of the underlayment or the, what do they call that?
Tar paper.
Your tar paper. Your, as Janice would say, ta. Your ta paper.
Well, they also use what's called a peel and stick now, so which is a lot better material. So some of it might be intact, so as long as you don't have any roof leaking, but for sure, make sure you call the roofer.
Yeah, make sure that's not damaged, because that's really the foundation of your roof is the underlayment, right, and not the shingles itself. So, you know, if the shingles have gotten blown off, I think your roof is fine. I'm not a roofer, but certainly give one a call, okay?
Okay. All right, thanks.
Thanks, Renee, for calling.
Thanks for calling. All right, Phil, this is just something that I'm curious about. Tell us the difference between how you prepare for a condo building versus a single-family home. I know that there's got to be, like you were talking about, the sandbags, and you know, there's.
Yeah, in a condo, they have their own rules and regulations. So mm-hmm. because of that, you have to kind of go by their guidelines, and so they'll allow you to put plywood up prior to. But also, there's other things that are available, but you have to check with your board and make sure it gets approved. They have the hurricane shutters that are mm-hmm. available. That a lot of associations are allowing that to.
They really can't stop somebody from protecting their home, but they can certainly establish some sort of architectural standards with regards to you know, what type of permanent hurricane shutters they're going to put up. They want some continuity out there, so certainly. That's for condos. Now, homeowners, on the other hand.
Yeah, I mean, is there such a thing as a hurricane-proof garage door for the single-family homes? I was just curious.
Well, there are standards.
Yeah.
You know, that nowadays they have the hurricane-proof up to so much wind. Mm-hmm. And I think it's maybe mandatory. You know, you can't get anything less. But there are standards.
Okay.
Okay, interesting. Tommy, I see you got you're looking at me a little cross-eyed. We got another call?
Yeah, it's like Ladies' Day here. It's Kimberly today.
Oh, okay. Hey, Kimberly, welcome to the Ameritech Connection. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Doing good, Kimberly. What's your question?
All right. I live alone, and I can't put wood on my windows. And I was lucky this time I've had no damage, but what do I do next time? I mean, can I put mattresses up? Would that work?
Well,
I don't know. I've heard of people doing that. But I saw it
on Facebook. Somebody did put a mattress up on their window, but
were they standing on the other side holding?
No,
it?
They actually had a mattress right on the right on their window.
Well, Kimberly,
I mean, it's a little late to ask because I already did it. But
right. Well, no, it's good to
but
ask.
I'm just curious.
It's good to ask now for the next time because, you know, we're going to get hit with another hurricane, especially living here in Florida.
Oh, no, please don't tell me that.
Well, hopefully it's many years from now, but it's going to happen. But what I would suggest is there's a lot of companies out there that will actually put those shutters up for you. And I would contact them now and get prepared,
right,
you know, for the next hurricane.
For next summer.
Right. Right, but there are companies out there that'll actually put the shutters up for you. Very reasonable. They're not that expensive. I don't have any names in front of us right now, but right. I think if you call our office, we might be able to give you a name or two.
Or maybe somebody in the neighborhood. I mean, if you saw somebody putting up, some wood in, you know, at other houses, you know, just take a walk over. Say, you know, can you do it for me, and I'll pay you, and you know whatnot. So that happens a lot. Everybody helps each other.
Okay.
Oh, well, thank you.
All right, Kimberly. Well, hopefully we answered your question. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Very good.
All right, I think it's time to take a quick break here, and we will be right back with more good information.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Meritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
Hey, Frank, thanks for inviting us to the pool party.
Hey!
What is that?
Oh, my pool? Yeah, I'm going for a natural Florida wildlife kind of thing.
Frank, no, man, you gotta call Gulfside Pools.
Daddy, watch me!
Jimmy, stop playing on that alligator.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Frank, it's bad. Gulfside does pool cleaning and repairs for commercial or residential. With over 50 years experience, they'll make your pool look, well, like a pool again. Call 813-626-3539. 813-626-3539. Or go to their website, gulfsidepools.com.
When you need legal help, you want a lawyer you can trust, someone with experience, knowledge, wisdom, and compassion. At Pilk & Associates, we pride ourselves at providing you with the personal attention and consideration your legal issues deserve. We can help plan long-term goals for your family or your business and handle unexpected legal issues that arise suddenly. We're a full-service law firm with nearly three decades of legal experience. We are dedicated to serving your legal needs. Please call for a free consultation
at 813-759-3285 or feel free to email us at law@pilka.com. We look forward to serving your legal needs.
Whether it's an act of nature or a burst pipe, a large loss can cause significant damage followed by an overwhelming process. Trinicon has the experience and expertise to provide a stress-free approach to restoring your community back to its pre-existing condition, allowing you to focus on other priorities. Our goal is to return you to the comfort of your home as quickly as possible while maintaining the highest standards of excellence. Trinicon is a licensed contractor, roofing contractor, and mold remediator. Call 1-888-521-5667. 1-888-521-5667 or visit us at TriniconLLC.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Ameritech Connection. And for those of you just tuning in, our show is all about Hurricane Irma and the cleanup and recovery efforts. I believe, Tommy, we have a couple more callers on the line. Can you?
Yes, next up is Sue.
Sue, hi. Welcome to the American Tech Connection. What's your question?
Hi, Sharon. Yeah, I have a good question.
Sue, you're kind of breaking up. Talk a little bit more better into the phone.
Yeah, can you hear me better now?
Yeah, a little bit better. Can you repeat that?
We have a bad connection or something.
Okay.
My question is, where can you find battery-operated light if you lose power? And I'm not talking just a flashlight, but I mean something more substantial than that.
Like battery-operated end table lights?
Lanterns.
Lanterns.
Is it called lanterns?
Lanterns.
Is that what?
Lanterns. That's a good. Yeah.
I would think probably Home Depot or Lowe's, you could probably pick those up.
Yeah,
you?
But you won't find them now. But give it another month.
You might. Those are the kind of things you want to prepare yourself for. Those are the kind of things that you want to kind of get ahead of time as part of your emergency kit. You know, you don't want to wait to the 11th hour or you're going to be standing in long lines and hopefully you might get it and hopefully and maybe you might not. You
know? I know we got ours at Walmart, you know, of course, during the winter seasons. But, you know, in the camping aisle, they have all kinds of good stuff.
I'm sure Dick's Sporting Goods and some of these other big camping outlets, too.
But also, you know, instead of regular candles, because people are afraid of fire and stuff, they're all year long you can get those battery-operated candles. They're not real, obviously. But those would be great. Buy a bunch of those and put them around.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea, too. Yeah, I've got too many grandkids and animals. So
yeah, so that would be perfect.
All right. Okay, well, Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's very helpful.
All right. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Sue. Hey, Phil, I got a question for you real quick. I know there's four areas of emergency management, and maybe we can touch a little bit quickly on, because we've still got a few more minutes, but quickly on the four areas. There's preparedness, which I think we talked a little bit about preparedness, and we all know what getting properly prepared when it comes to a hurricane. There's the response, and talk a little bit about the response. What's up with the response now? And
well, the response on our part is making sure that we're contacting insurance companies, well, not the actual companies, but the agents themselves, also responding to the to the actual properties and looking at what the actual recovery needs to be done.
And then one of the four things is recovery. Recovery is the next thing. So you got preparedness, response, which certainly, you know, making sure that you got all your ducks in a row, you know, contractors and landscapers and restoration companies and insurance companies. I mean, that's the response time. Then you've got, and certainly from an emergency management federal level, there's preparedness and response when it comes to FEMA and, you know, the Red Cross and response time for water and these devastating things. And then obviously recovery is the next aspect of it, right? And for us, from a management company, recovery is really important. And that's...
Well, that's one of the big things I found out in what we're doing, and especially in this business that we're involved with, is communications. And communicating with the board, communicating with the vendor, and letting them know, because there are priorities that come up. There's some of the things that are happening that are not a priority, so the manager is able to relay that to one property over another property, saying they'll get to you, but because we have another thing going on right now that's a little more of an emergency or more of a priority, and by that communication with the different properties, then they're able to, the recovery goes a little smoother, and people aren't upset with you,
right?
And they're pretty well patient, you know,
right? And it's definitely being prepared and having a good response, and then the recovery goes a lot smoother. I totally agree with you. Then you've got mitigation. Now, mitigation is obviously like, it's like Janice's couple of shingles that she lost, right? Now she says it's like 10 bundles, right? When really it was
only three.
Three bundles.
Three bundles. Boy, there must have been shingles flying all over that neighborhood, right?
All over.
But, you know, certainly if there's any holes in the roof or roofs ripped off, kind of like the property that we have on Dunedin Causeway, you know, putting tarps and blue tarps and mitigating that damage is certainly important. Now, did we have any properties that we had to, you know, mitigate the damage and prevent future damage from happening?
Actually, we're pretty fortunate. That's the only one that I was aware of that, I said, most of the stuff that we had were actual carports that we were involved with. And so it's just removing that debris to keep it from coming down, you know, on anybody, and just kind of removing that to the side. You know?
And for the record, carport insurance, if I'm not mistaken, is extremely expensive, right?
And if some people have it and some don't, then fortunately, and that's part of going back to preparing, a lot of the associations we have, we recommended the carports do be covered. And so they are being covered right now, and they're going to be able to, you know.
But certainly we also give them the choice, too. I mean, you got some board members that just say, well, we're not going to cover it. It's too expensive.
And also have a reserve item for them.
Oh,
yes. Good point.
Our budget lady over here. Good point.
That's right.
Well, folks, I have an interesting fact here about extremely powerful hurricanes such as Irma. And it can actually change the shape of the ocean for a period of time. And it's known as negative surge and hurricane bulge, and occurred actually in Naples and Tampa Bay. Basically, Hurricane Irma was so strong, and its pressure is so low, it actually sucks water from its surrounding area into the core of the storm. And in the center of Irma, the pressure is very low, and the water is drawn upward in a sucking motion. As the storm gobbles water towards its center, it actually gets pulled from its surroundings. So, you know, I just find that so fascinating. But, you know, and we look out there and we go, oh, well, it's tempting to, you know, go out there and play in the empty bay. But it can be very dangerous. Yeah. So people, please stay clear of the areas where the water is receded, because it actually comes back at higher levels and with great force.
Well, it was pretty cool. I don't know if anybody has seen it in Tampa Bay. I mean, but the whole bay was pretty much dry.
The first time I saw that on TV, I was like, oh my God, wow, that's impossible.
I don't have a TV.
I thought it was fake news at first, but.
I don't have electric, so I wasn't able to.
Oh, you still don't have power.
That's not good.
I still don't.
Speaking of that, what's going on with the power? I mean, we still have quite a few. I know we just got power out at main corporate offices at Ameritech this morning. I know my house in Clearwater still doesn't have power.
Yeah.
What about you, Tommy? Do you have power?
Yep, got it back yesterday.
Oh, got it back good. Yesterday.
Yeah, but you know, those guys, you know, we got to hand it to them. They're working around the clock, and they're working so hard. But there are still some communities without power.
Unbelievable. Some of these trees literally are resting on some of these telephone poles, and you can see the enormous job that they have, and they're doing a fantastic job out there. So you really got to give kudos to TECO and Duke Energy and all the different power companies. Go ahead.
When I was going to work this morning, I go up Klosterman and get onto Belcher at that point, and there's a field right there. There must have been 50 electric trucks right there,
right.
And they must have all been, you know, talking, to, you know, figuring out where they're going. You know,
well, they're staging at the Countryside Mall area, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're staging there too. So, I mean, it came from all over the place. I mean, throughout the country, they came in here and converged on this area to help us out, and we certainly appreciate that.
And as far as trash pickup, I think that we had heard, hopefully this is true, that I guess they will start Monday, right?
Monday,
yeah,
correct.
So
I'm not sure we're in Dunedin. This is Pinellas County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I know that there's other utilities that were lost as well as cable, right?
Cable right now, we pay a lot of dollars for cable, and that's the one that's out most of the area.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Now, for the most part, water and sewer, we didn't lose any water anywhere.
No.
I mean, water was still on. Oh, you know, so you didn't have to worry about that tub being filled up. So you have
and
to
the flushing.
And the flushing of the toilet.
They knew, based on the storm that was coming in, the water department appeared ahead of time to make sure the pumps were up, and you know, and it minimized any damage to their what was going on there.
Well, listen, folks, planning for a hurricane is really, really critical. Always listen to the emergency management folks if they tell you to evacuate. And I think we really, really dodged a bullet this time. And
don't leave your pets behind.
We certainly did.
Thank God. So stay tuned, folks. We got a really good show coming up next week. That and much more on the Ameritech Connection. Keep listening, folks. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ameritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Not you, the hot one.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Aren't you that lady that's on that radio show called the Ameritech Connection?
Why, yes, I am. We're live every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network. Right, Mike?
That's right, Sharon. Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? We cover it all and more. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time again?
That's 5 p.m. every Thursday on Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
Well, that wraps up our show for today. Sharon and I both would like to thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, without you, Ameritech has no connection.
That's so true. And we also appreciate all the feedback and all the listeners that take the time to call in and ask the questions. So don't forget, every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection on the Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
And if you're looking for a good property management company, look no further. Give us a call at Ameritech. I promise you, you won't be sorry. We would greatly appreciate the opportunity to become your next property management company.
So don't forget, every Thursday between 5 and 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk again next week.
WTAN Clearwater,
FM 106.1,
WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay, WZHR Zephyr Hills,
FM 104.3.
Listen.